In 1997, the German journalist Christoph Bertram lamented, "What has happened to Germany? Europe's supposed leading power is in the doldrums." No one would now call Germany, as he did, the sick man of Europe. So what changed? Welcome to Vox Talks, a series of interviews with some of the world's leading economists. Germany's rapid climb out of these doldrums in the 1990s and the lessons from it are the subject of a recent e-book published by the Center for Economic Policy Research. It's titled Explaining Germany's Exceptional Recovery. On the line today, we have Dalia Marin, Chair of International Economics at the University of Munich, who is both editor of the book and a contributor to it. Dalia, welcome to Vox Talks.
Hi, Tim.
It'll be hard for many of our listeners to recall that relatively recently Germany could be called the sick man of Europe. What time was this referring to?
This refers to the 90s, after the fall of communism, when Germany had to absorb the former eastern part of Germany. And so the idea was that maybe absorbing the eastern part of Germany will make the German economy more sclerotic. And that is the reason why Germany is not doing well at all.
And now, of course, Germany's economy is certainly not sick. So what was the main thing that turned this around?
Yeah, it was the trade liberalization with the former communist countries that led to the turnaround of the German economy. The trade liberalization with the Eastern European countries changed the institution of wage bargaining. So when the German economy opened up to Eastern Europe, German firms had improved their bargaining position vis-a-vis the workers. So in the bargaining between the employers' federation and the trade unions, this threat by German firms to relocate production to Eastern Europe changed the political equilibrium between the trade unions and the employers' federation. And that led to a decentralization of wage bargaining from the centralized industry level to the decentralized firm level. And this meant that the firms could adapt to their market condition. And that led to a low increase in wages. So relative unit labor cost of Germany declined.
Now, to be clear, you are not referring in this to the Hartz reforms, which were a series of labour market reforms. They're often given the credit for Germany's economic dominance in Europe.
Yeah, exactly. The Hartz reforms have been taking place a decade later. The Hartz reforms were introduced in 2002, but the decline in relative unit labor costs in Germany started at the beginning of the 90s as a result of this change in the institution of wage bargaining, which contributed to the lowering wage growth. The Hartz reform was actually a reform that gave workers an incentive to be employed, but they did not contribute to a lower increase in wages, and therefore they didn't contribute to the improvements in competitiveness of the German economies. So the Hartz reform did not play any role in this.
Nevertheless, we know that some production moved to Eastern Europe. What was the effect of this on Germany's economy?
Yes, from the mid-90s, there was a big move into producing in Eastern Europe, and that had several advantages for the German firms. During this time, in the 90s, there was a severe skill shortage in Germany. We estimated the human capital stock of the German economy, and what we found is that in the 90s, the growth of the human capital stock of the German economy stopped. And in the 90s, Germany was faced with two shocks which put pressure on the demand for skills, namely the information technology revolution and the opening up of Eastern Europe. So we had two demand shocks that increased the demand for skills, while at the same time, the expansion of skill from the supply side stopped to expand. So that led to a severe shortage, and so German firms could not find engineers in the German labor market. So they moved to Eastern Europe, where these skills were plenty. Eastern Europe was skill rich, so you could find engineers and educated people at a low cost. So the opening up to Eastern Europe happened when this skill shortage in Germany was particularly severe, and that helped the German economy. It also helped because there was an expansion of markets to Eastern Europe. So the German firm could export to the former Eastern European countries.
Germany also rebounded more quickly than other countries from the financial crisis. Was this also about trade liberalization?
Yes, we have several things that the trade liberalization with Eastern Europe generated for Germany. One was the change in the institution of wage bargaining. The second was that the expansion of production networks to Eastern Europe, so that German firms produced now in Eastern Europe, led also to lowering costs of German firms because they now produced in a low-wage country. So these two things changed the German economy from a high-cost, high-wage economy to a low-cost, low-wage economy. And at the same time, there was a third effect, which was interesting, that the trade liberalization with the Eastern European countries led to a change in the business model of German firms. They decentralized decision-making inside the firm. And this decentralization of decision-making inside the corporation led to an increase in product quality. The idea here is that when you decentralize decision-making inside the firm to lower levels of the corporate hierarchy, workers are incentivized. Workers, they have a better knowledge of the market, and because they get decision power, they can now implement those things that they know the market demands. And that led to an increase in product quality of German exports. So the trade liberalization had three effects: lowering wages, lowering costs, and increasing product quality by decentralizing decision making within the firm.
Many advanced economies have suffered badly as a result of competition from China, what we now call the China shock. The book argues that Germany did much better than other advanced economies in responding to this shock, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. In the US, the China shock led to unemployment, and those workers that found a job, they had to wait for some time to find a new job, and they had to accept lower wages. Now, we do not find the same negative effect of the China shock for the German economy, precisely because around the same time, the opening up of Eastern Europe led to a net expansion of exports to Eastern Europe. So when the negative China shock hits, this was a competition shock. At the same time, exports to Eastern Europe expanded, so that made the shock milder. I looked at the size of the China shock across several European countries, and the China shock was largest in the United States. And Germany didn't have that much of a China shock because Germany was already adjusted to low-wage competition from Turkey and from Spain and from Italy and Portugal. The China shock replaced the imports from these low-wage countries. So it hit the Portuguese and the Italians and the Turkish economy, but not the German economy, because Germany just replaced the imports from these low-wage countries by the Chinese imports. And I also found that the Chinese, they love the German high-quality products. Since the financial crisis alone, exports to China have doubled. And this was the strongest increase compared to any other country in the world.
Finally, Dalia, was Germany's economic recovery a one-off, or are there things that other countries can learn from it?
There are several things. One thing they can learn is that competition, foreign competition, trade competition. When we compare Germany with France, what we find is that German firms decentralize a lot their decision-making inside the firm, while French firms do not. And so the question is why? And we find that one driver of decentralization is international competition. In this case, we have shown that competition with Eastern European countries induced that decentralization within firms in Germany. Now, the trade shock with Eastern Europe was largest for Germany and Austria, and firms in both of these countries have decentralized, while in France it was less important. So if you want that French firms decentralize, you have to introduce more competition, in particular foreign competition. That would be one thing, but that's not sufficient, because what we also find is that when the French firms decentralize their decision-making inside the firm. They do not improve the product quality, which leads to an increase in export market shares, which we find for German firms, but we do not find for French firms. Part of the reason is that the decentralization comes with a cost, and the cost is you give decision power to middle management, and that the middle management might use the power for their own interest to pursue their career or so on. They might use it in a way that is not beneficial for the firm. Now, what we find is that in Germany, when you decentralize, it leads to an increase in the export market share of high quality products, while it doesn't in France, which suggests this is where the problem is. So then the question is, why, when the German firms decentralize, it leads to an improvement in product quality, while it doesn't lead when the French firms decentralize? And part of the reason might be trust. There is this World Value Survey that asks people whether they trust their neighbors and they are trustful to foreigners. And when you look at these results, you see that Germany is a high trust country while France is not. So part of the reason why when the Germans decentralize, middle management tends not to exploit their power, while they tend to exploit their power in French firms. When trust is low, then you might need other mechanisms to get middle management to improve product quality. And one mechanism that might lead to that is that you introduce economic incentives, meaning that you give workers at lower levels of the firm hierarchies more economic incentives to improve product quality.
Dahlia, thank you.
Thank you too.
I have been speaking to Dahlia Marin, who is editor of the new CEPR ebook, Explaining Germany's Exceptional Recovery. If you want to find out more about what's in it, Dahlia has also written a column for VoxEU with the same title, and there's a download link for the ebook in that column as well. This has been a Vox Talk presented by the Centre for Economic Policy Research. For more in the series, visit voxeu.org/vox-talks.